Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roni@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and anyone else who's listening, this is Jeff Roni, and welcome to the Roni Zone. And I have found a really cool gal on Twitter. She's got a lot of things going on, and I just want to introduce you to Jen Page. Jen, welcome to Roni Zone Radio.
Oh, I am so, you know, I was flabbergasted when you wanted to interview me. I said, me? I'm really, really happy to be talking with you today.
Well, I look for people that are very interesting, that have a story, and have a lot of cool things going on besides the fact that you're a voiceover person. So that got me interested. I just, a voiceover person in Singapore, there's got to be a story there somewhere, so...
Several stories, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice to be here overseas.
Now, let's kind of start with this: is your wonderful wife, and you're a mom. You've got a couple of kids. So, I was reading in one of your bios that you're an American expat. What's that?
Yes. You know, I get asked that a lot. Expat is short for expatriate, basically someone who lives in another country other than their own. And because I'm an American living overseas, I'm called an American expatriate or an American expat for short. So that's basically what it is. And we have expats in Singapore from all over, very diverse countries, Australian, English, Indian expats, lots of Americans too.
Now, you mentioned that you live near a lake and it's a little bit humid. If you could give me an idea of maybe an area in the U.S. that Singapore looks like right outside your window, where would it – what state or what area would it be?
You know, it reminds, there are a lot of tall buildings. It looks a lot like any – major U.S. city, whether it's Chicago or L.A. or New York, a lot of really, really tall buildings. Mm-hmm. But when you get on the outside of the city, it looks like it could be any, just maybe not a major city, but, you know, like maybe, I don't know, Tampa, Florida, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very diverse. And then we have areas here that they actually do farming here. So no cows. We have to actually get our meat from New Zealand or Australia, but they farm a lot of other things here. So there are a lot of areas here where there's agriculture, too. So for a tiny island, there's a lot going on.
Well, you mentioned it's humid, so it must be very fertile, I would imagine.
Yeah, they grow, of course, a lot of rice around here, mm-hmm. and we're very close to Malaysia. A lot of the rice actually comes from Malaysia or Thailand, but they also grow rice here. And they do a lot of the other farming that they do is actually like fish farming. Everywhere you go, you kind of smell fish.
Okay. What in Singapore, walking down the street, what is your one new love? What do they have there that they just do not have in the U.S.?
You know, there's really, let me think. The thing that I love probably most about Singapore isn't a certain thing that they have. It's that it's a melting pot. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I remember growing up when I was a kid hearing America was a melting pot. But, you know, people in the U.S. came from Italy, England, Spain, France, all over to settle the United States. Mm-hmm. But here, people actually embrace the other cultures. And I think Americans have lost sight of that. Mm-hmm. Here they have... You know, a lot of religions and a lot of cultures that are represented, Chinese, Indian, American, English. It's just from all over, and it's so safe here. Hmm. My kids can go. I have two teenagers, but honestly, there I see 6-, 7-, 8-year-olds with older brothers and sisters, maybe of 9, 10, and 11, riding on the public transportation here, and it's very, very safe.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that you love coffee. And that you love tea.
I do.
Did you love tea before you got there, or was it something that you kind of adapted being there?
No, I had to adapt to it because before I came here, I thought all tea tasted like dirt. But I've learned to love it. One of the places that, now I know they have it in the U.S., but where I lived in the U.S., they didn't, was the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. And they have an English breakfast tea here that I really, really like. And, you know, I've always been used to drinking colder drinks because I lived in Florida, so it's always hot. And I love the iced coffees, but I actually branched out a little bit. It's actually hotter in Florida, but more humid here in Singapore. But I actually branched out a little bit and started drinking some of the hotter drinks, the teas especially, because it's part of their culture. Chinese people and a lot of the English people who live here and South Africans all love tea. So I had more opportunities to try it, I think.
Now, English folks put cream and milk in their tea. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. They wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay. So, I mean, is that a part of what it is, or is it just kind of just straight tea? I mean, because here we have, you know, Starbucks. Man, we got it everywhere. Probably there's Starbucks over there, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's just kind of like we've kind of play coffee by their rules. You know, you have to have this high cream and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. In like a tea store, a Coffee Bean and Tea over there, is it you can have however you want it, or is it, you know, a certain type of tea?
They have, you know, they have way more varieties of tea than I ever realized. Like, I knew about green tea and, you know, black tea, but I really didn't know how many different kinds of teas existed until I moved here. And I lived in Japan before we came to Singapore. And so between Japan and Singapore, I have seen so much tea, and they actually have ceremonies. The people who are, I mean, like native to here actually sometimes will do a tea ceremony. And it's amazing how much a part of their culture it is. But they have, so like now they actually have an iced tea latte. You know, you're used to getting an iced latte made with coffee, but here they have like an iced tea latte. So all the things that Americans do with coffee, they do with tea here, but they also embrace it as part of the culture.
I was very interested in that only because I would consider tea being over coffee, kind of like the metric system. It's like they try, but it never really kind of works here in the U.S.
Yeah, but this is all metric system here too.
Okay, all right. So it is very interesting. You know, just the whole type of you know, environment that you're talking about, the public transit and different things. I would imagine that the food is somewhat healthier as well. If you're talking about fish and different things, do you feel that, or have they gotten a lot of U.S. kind of stuff and McDonald's or whatever?
You know, it's a little of both. I think for the most part, people here in their day-to-day lives eat fairly healthy foods, and they don't really eat very large portions. It's very funny because a friend of mine here who's an American called for a pizza the other day, and she asked, she said, we have five people. How many pizzas should I order? And the lady said, oh, just two mediums. And then my friend said, oh, but we're Americans. And the woman said, oh, two extra large and two mediums.
Wow.
Americans eat a lot more than the Asians do. And you can tell when you try to buy clothes around here and can't find them in American sizes.
Wow. Now, in just a couple of the emails that we've sent back and forth, you mentioned that your husband and you started a couple of churches in Florida.
That's true. Yeah.
Tell me a little.
In Central Florida.
Tell me a little about that. Did you, obviously, you kind of had to prepare and probably go to some schooling and different things, but what was it like kind of arriving somewhere and saying, I'm going to start a church here, and then kind of work into that? What was that process like?
You know, it was something completely unexpected because, I mean, I went to private school in high school. I went to a Christian high school. My husband was raised Catholic and kind of went away from his, you know, from his upbringing. And when we got married, we decided to go back to church. And I wasn't raised Catholic. I wasn't comfortable in a Catholic church. He didn't want to go to a Baptist church because I was raised in a Baptist surroundings. And so we just sort of picked something that we thought was kind of in the middle, which really there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we did find a church that we loved, and we got very involved. He played on the worship team, and because of my background in radio, I went to work with the AV team with sound and that sort of thing. And that was in Louisiana. Well, when we moved to Florida, we were trying to find a church that we'd really, really love. And we heard about a place that was just getting started, and they were meeting in a high school. And we just started talking with them. We actually weren't in Florida yet. We were corresponding with them online. We found their website. And my husband went down there for a couple of times for his work when he moved to, he was transferred to Florida. He went down there for some meetings and went to this church on Wednesdays and started practicing with the worship team, and he really, really enjoyed it. So when I got down there, I started working with them in creative arts and in sort of helping to find videos that would match the pastor's message. And we just sort of, we weren't the speakers, the pastors, but we worked on a team that helped to get this church started from a core of about 12 people to over 400 members.
Wow.
About 250 to 300 in regular attendance on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And then another church sort of planted off of the church we started in Lakeland, Florida, not too far down the road in Davenport, Florida, a little closer to Orlando. And so we drove out there every Sunday morning for several months to help them get started. And there's a lot involved in starting a church when it comes to set up and, of course, setting up and tearing down, but then in reaching the community and letting them know you're there and in making the message relevant on a Sunday morning for people who maybe have never been to church or who think church is not relevant, or maybe they were burned by church before. And
yeah.
So we really loved their whole idea about reaching people with a relevant message. And so it was very easy for us to grab onto that. And we've actually been able to do the same thing in Singapore. We found a church that was just a few weeks old when we got here. And we've been able to take what we learned in helping start the churches in the U.S. and Florida and help this church here to do the same thing. So it's really exciting.
What is the church experience like in Singapore that would maybe be a little different than Florida or America?
Well, one of the biggest differences is, first of all, that it's there's so many religions here that are mm-hmm. represented. There are a lot of Muslims and a lot of Buddhists. Not a lot of Christians here, but in a Christian church or in a Catholic church, because there are some Catholic churches and Christian churches here, they're very similar because a lot of the people who are leading these churches are from either America or another Western nation. So they're very similar. The church that we're in right now is started by some South Africans who actually have a lot of the same ideas. They follow the same kind of mentors that the people in America follow. So the churches that we would be used to in America are very similar here, except you see a lot of different cultures. You see a lot of locals, Singaporeans or Chinese people in attendance, as well as, Westerners. But you can't always tell if they're American. There are a lot of, like I said, a lot of Brits, a lot of Aussies, a lot of, a lot of people from Western nations who are also here.
Well, I think it's really incredible to see kind of where we are as far as people who are Christians, I would say religious people in general in 2009. It's a wild time, just in just about everything. In your opinion, what do people want from church these days?
I think, that's kind of tough because I think a lot of people go there because they're hurting. Mm-hmm. I think what drives most people to ever seek God is they're at a point in their lives where they realize they can't do it on their own. Mm. I think some people are looking for a Band-Aid, or they want to go someplace where someone's going to tell them what they're doing is okay. Mm. But I think for the most part, people are going because they want to find people who are just like them, who are hurting. And I think that's what's important about being a relevant church, is that you don't want to go in and just put on your Sunday face. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm fine. Nothing's wrong with my life. Mm. When in reality, your kids are driving you nuts. Your boss is driving you nuts. You're at the end of your rope, and you just feel like you're dying inside. And I think people want to know that they're normal, that that's normal. And for so long, I think churches have put on this Sunday face. And by churches, I mean the people in the church, not the building, of course. But people will go to church on Sunday and pretend like they had it all figured out. And we don't. Yeah. None of us have it all figured out. And even the people who are doing it right and who are, you know, reading their Bibles and they're doing devotions and they're, you know, they're doing all the right things, they still have problems. Yeah. Your problems don't go away when you become a Christian, but you have a new place to go for answers. And I think it's important that people know when they walk in the doors on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever you meet, I think it's important they know that they're not alone.
Well, I think that we have opportunities now to be, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people that read the Bible and kind of see certain things, and they kind of cling to that. And I read the Bible, and things stand out to me where Jesus is called the friend of sinners. And I think I think we forgot that those who hate the Bible, those who hate God, those who hate what we love are actually the ones that we're just supposed to be friends with. And so it's exciting to hear about a church that wants to be relevant. And I know that term just makes a lot of people faint. But the churches that dress in the three-piece suits and drive the nice cars and kind of look down on people that don't, they don't have a lot of people much anymore. Or if they do, they don't have the people that, you know, it talks about in Jude 2 where it says some will reach into the fire and snatch them out. Somebody has to go get them. Somebody has to have an opportunity and a place for people to go that are really messed up, you know, and that's who I think Jesus came for. You know, he sat around and talked to lepers and prostitutes and, you know, lady next to the well. And, you know, I don't know. He didn't spend time talking to kings, you know, and so
people who are well don't need a doctor.
Right.
It's basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I think the people here also, you know, I was really nervous when we first came here because, you know, my husband had an opportunity with his job to come here, and I thought, well, it's going to be really hard to find a church where we're going to plug in and feel like, you know, how do you minister to Asians? And I realize that might sound kind of, you know, silly to say, but because their upbringing is so different from ours, you don't realize sometimes until you step outside your own culture what the rest of the world is like. And, you know, we grew up in a largely Christian nation. Now, not everybody is a Christian, but the majority of the people in the United States who practice any religion at all are Christians. Over here, it's like 8% or something, and most of them are Buddhist and Muslim. So how do you make someone convert from their very different belief to Christianity? And I was a little concerned about how to minister to people like that. And given that my background is creative arts, I'm used to finding videos from either from movies or clips from TV shows to illustrate a point. I remember doing an entire series we did on James where we did According to Jim, the TV show. We took clips from that show and used it to preach from James. And it was, but people in Asia, they don't have the same TV shows we have.
Right.
They don't have the same type of sense of humor that Americans have. So I felt like, how is my job going to be relevant over here? And you know what I found? Oh, first of all, God always knows what he's doing when he puts people in places. But when we came over here and we found this church and the people here, I've ministered to so many taxi cab drivers, probably spoken with more taxi drivers about Jesus than I have anybody else of any other kind of job in my entire life, because you have an opportunity. And people here feel free to talk about religion. And almost every time I get into a cab, when the driver sees that I'm white, he says, "Oh, are you Christian?" They automatically assume if you're white, you're a Christian. Wow. And that they open the door for me. And I had one driver tell me that he said, "You would be amazed to know the number of local people here who largely believe in, you know, Buddhism or in, you know, the Muslim faith, send their children to Christian churches, to youth groups, because they love the morality that Christianity preaches." You just don't ever know sometimes till you step outside your own comfort zone what everybody else is thinking, what they think about you. You know, we think about Muslims hating Christians or hating America, and that's such a small section of fanatics that believe that way.
Right.
And to come here and to be able to talk with Muslims about their religion and not think, oh no, what's going to happen to me? it's an amazing opportunity.
I do kind of want to highlight something that you actually are saying right here is there's a lot of Christians here that are just flipping out about the change right. of presidency, the change of the administration, the change of some of the laws, the change of a lot of things, because they feel that their Christian nation is being eroded. And you have just said that Christians make up 8%, 8% mm-hmm. in Singapore. And because of the character of the church and the people, they are being sought out. I think the character in the American Christian church has been a mess for a long time. We're just people. I understand that. But, I mean, can you imagine if the Christian church was viewed as you're saying right here by taxi drivers that are telling you,
yeah,
you know, people love to take their kids to the church. That would be a total flip-flop from the way it is now. So that's incredible. What an exciting opportunity to use your gifts and you know, your husband and in another place, but the God is still as strong and is still as true. That's exciting. It really is.
Well, I think that when you get over here and you get outside what your normalcy is, you know, as a Christian, I think you start to appreciate some of the things you never appreciated before. You know, and, you know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I mean, my husband and I are not, you know, we went through times, like I said, before we got married when we weren't going to church and we decided to go to church together when we got married. You know, there were times that we really kind of slipped back and just let God take, you know, a back seat in our lives. And a lot of Christians do that. But I think that if somebody who's in that position steps outside the United States into a nation that is not Christian, you start to realize what is so important. And I get emails from my friends about, you know, you were talking about the administration, about Obama. And I think, you know what, it doesn't matter who you voted for, he's our president.
Right.
And either you're going to support him or you're going to bash him. And bashing him, what does that do? It just separates people. And Jesus didn't come to separate people.
No.
And so a lot of people who call themselves Christians who don't like Obama because of, you know, his party or his beliefs or his stance on an issue, you know what, when we stand before God, we are equal. And he did not come to separate us. And I do hate to see when Christians send out emails and messages of hate about our leadership. You know, in Singapore, you can't do that. In Singapore, you'd probably go to jail if you were to send an email about your leader. You just can't do that. It's against the law. So, you know, Americans don't realize what kind of freedoms they have and how blessed they are to be able to use them.
Amen. And you can keep on saying that. Because I've been saying that for a long time is, you know, the Bible's very clear. It says, honor the king. Honor the king that's over you. Because we do serve the God that's in control of everything. So it kind of puts things in perspective. There weren't always good kings in the Bible. And God's power didn't stop. God's plan didn't stop. His plans move forward. If we were supposed to, you know, rescue the lost and care for the hurting, that doesn't stop because there's a king that maybe doesn't line up with the way you believe. So, you know, it's just we just need to keep moving forward. So you get an amen for that, and we'll take an offering later. And I get excited when you mention creative arts in church because I think that it really opens up the creative toolbox to get messages across to people, and it's not just music and it's not just a sermon. Tell me the different you mentioned TV shows and movies and different things. Is that pretty much it, or have you really kind of reached outside the box with maybe plays or different things? Tell me more about that.
Well, we've done theatrical, you know, presents, some plays and some theatrical type things, but we always try to keep it targeted toward, you know, when you want to stay relevant in today's society, you have to realize a lot of the people that you're trying to reach, they grew up with MTV, an MTV generation. You know, back when MTV played music videos.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Kids who and teenagers who have a short attention span. So if you're not always keeping up with what's relevant to them, and you're not always changing things, if you're standing in one place, preaching from behind a podium or a pulpit, after a while, you know, your mind starts to drift. And it's not just the kids. Adults are the same way. You know, we all want to be entertained. I don't think church is about entertainment. But if you can take the message and make it creative and make it, you know, fit to, you know, a lot of the stuff that we read about in the Bible, you know, happened so long ago, you think, how does that fit for today? And it does. But it's up to the pastor or the creative arts team to show you how what happened to Jonah is relevant in today's society. And, you know, sometimes it's through music. Sometimes it's using a song that has a message. You know what? You know, rock music, music that has lyrics that aren't necessarily pleasing to God. Why not? Why can't Christians take that back?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we take a song that maybe is meant to be a love song and sing it to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many things out there. You mentioned earlier about reaching into the fire. We did one time, we did Garth Brooks standing outside the fire in church on a Sunday morning and talking about how, you know, why do you stand outside the fire? Go in there and get, you know, sometimes you have to get burned. People are messy.
Mm-hmm.
When you work with people, it's a messy thing, and sometimes you get burned.
You are listening to Roni's Own Radio. Well, Jen has a lot more to say, and so we're going to stop our interview right there and pick it up next time with part two. So be sure that you check out part two of this great interview on Roni's Own Radio with Radio Jen. See ya. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniszone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniszone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roniszone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Joey.
And I'm Luke.
Join us for Family Time Podcast, where we talk about everything from websites to dinosaurs to adventurers.
Sounds like one great big adventure to me. Make sure you join us at FamilyTimePodcast.com.
Hi, this is Rick Moyer, the host of Take Him With You, the weekly podcast that's spiritual, not religious. If you're like me, I bet you could use some encouragement on a regular basis. So that's why I designed Take Him With You. Each week, I talk about TV shows, movies, gadgets, and my geeky life. I even talk about my faith. I play some cool music created in my studio, and I do contests and try to do something that encourages each and every person that listens every week. So won't you join me for Take Him With You, the podcast that's spiritual, not religious. Find out more at TakeHimWithYou.com or search on iTunes for Rick Moyer or Take Him With You. Now you have my personal invite, so I hope you download and take it with you today.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniszone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.